Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And as promised, always the biggest and the best names in sports are joining us. And up next is a familiar name. That would be Joe Capp. He is a former quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, did some great things with that organization, led Minnesota to their first ever divisional title and playoff game in 1968. And that magical year, 1969, he guided the Vikings to the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, we're going to try to find some time and relive some of those memories. But the big reason why we have Joe Capp joining us this weekend is we've got to talk about this whole Brett Favre situation and debacle, if you will. So, Joe Capp, it's great to have you back on with us this weekend. It has been such a long time. Welcome back, Joe.
Okay, Elissa, good morning to you, and thank you, as usual, for a great introduction. I don't know if there's anybody in your audience that is old enough to remember that far back. It's 40 years. 40 years.
It's never too old to relive some of those just fantastic memories. But right now, hitting the front lines and is on everybody's mind is this whole situation with Brett Favre. A lot of criticism. And in some ways, I'm going to sound like Sarah Palin. Say it ain't so, Joe. But Brett Favre is now a Minnesota Viking. What was your reaction to the news and development?
Oh, I have very strong feelings about that, Elissa. The fact that where is the loyalty, where, you know, there's a great rivalry, the Vikings in the Central Division, the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions, and, of course, the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, we're not teaching loyalty. We're not teaching stay in school. We're not teaching that when you get this kind of a thing that a great player on one team can come over to the other team. There must be some way that we can get loyalty. There's rivalries, but I think what's being lost here is the loyalty to the fans that supported Favre in Green Bay, and now they're expected to switch over. But the bottom line then is the money. They're going to sell a lot of tickets with Brett over in Minnesota.
You hit on a number of intangibles. You talk about loyalty. I think about integrity, character. But ultimately, we think about the fans, but what about the impact on the Minnesota Vikings themselves? And how will this go over in the locker room? And will it be a little bit of a splinter for the team? I think of those backup quarterbacks who anticipated that they would be the number one guy or perhaps try to earn that.
Well, that's what they say they are trying to build in professional football. They have this thing called a draft that never works. They have all these great coaches and management that build the teams. Well, then here you get a young quarterback, Tavares Jackson, and I don't think he's ever had the opportunity to say, hey, run this football team and you're the quarterback. If they have done that, then obviously Brett Favre is a proven great quarterback. He's a little bit antiquated, and I can even go back to my time 40 years ago. They let me go, the Vikings let me go, when I felt we had a shot at the success with the Super Bowl again because we had a team unity. It was called 40 for 60. Well, I don't think you see that when you bring in an outside player like Brett Favre. As great as he is, he's a tremendous football player.
Does Brett Favre, does he still have the right to pursue his dream at the cost of perhaps everybody else's?
Yeah, that's my point. I don't think he does. I think there's some way. Baseball, for example, they get great pitchers that are starters, and there's no great shame in being a relief pitcher. And I know there's on certain days in any competitive effort, even Tiger Woods had a bad day this week. If you had an old timer like Brett there and ready to come in and do relief, that would help you be a winner. If that's what they're going to do in Minnesota with Favre backing up, and it doesn't sound like that though, they're going to sell a lot of tickets that Brett Favre is going to be the quarterback. So, those are my thoughts, Lisa.
Joe Capp is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It's great to hear his familiar voice. I remember when we first started this program way out in the Four Corners area in New Mexico, and Joe was one of my very first guests. Joe, it's great to have you on this weekend, and I am curious, as you are sharing some very strong opinions about this Brett Favre fiasco, what about Fran Tarkington? I mean, he had some very strong opinions, too. I mean, he's saying that Packer fans should go out and burn their Brett Favre jerseys. What's your reaction to that?
He's so colorful, Mr. Tarkington scrambles. I don't listen to him much. I didn't like him as a player. I think he was a selfish player. He built his statistics up for his own fame and fortune. So I don't put much credence into anything Tarkington says. I think, once again, the game of football, professional sports, if it's, integrity's got to be there, if nothing else, for the gamblers. You're not going to get a lot of good gambling unless you know that the game's up and up. But then there's all the hype, and they want offense, Elisa. Look at the rules they've changed since the last 40 years ago. Blocking. Linemen can use their hands. They've moved the hash marks to the middle of the field, which helps the offense. Every play's from the middle of the field. They throw a flag if you breathe on a wide receiver. In our time, a wide receiver's got mugged. How many blocking infractions took place? So, the game's changed, the rules have changed, and all for more offense and more season tickets, more tickets. So it is a business. Sometimes people forget that, fans forget it, old-timing football players forget it, but it is a business, and that's how they run it.
I did want to get your assessment on as far as Brett Favre with. Here he's going to turn 40 in October. That's been very well documented. Everyone's been talking about that. How much time does he truly have left? How much does he have left in his tank, and what will he be able to do significantly for the Minnesota Vikings?
Lisa, you asked me about Brett Favre, 40 years old. I was 32 years old when they told me I could not play in the National Football League, and I'm bringing up an old wound because you brought it up. I felt I could have played another 8 years, and wishfully it would have been with the Minnesota Vikings, but they saw the business differently than I did, and so I didn't get to play. But 40, you're pushing it. He's an outdoorsman. He's had the big hits, but when you get him at the quarterbacking and he's on the field, you're going to get the best in judgment and the best in mental ability, which goes a real long way in quarterbacking in the National Football League.
A lot of folks have been very critical as far as Brett Favre's overall performance last year with the Jets, but at times, Joe, we did see brilliance and, of course, why he is a future Hall of Famer. My question to you is, where, as far as with him landing on his feet with the Minnesota Vikings, I would give this assessment that they are a better team, but my question to you, Joe Capp, is this a Super Bowl-bound team?
I think they've got the finest back, and I think that's given. Peterson is a back you can give the ball to. I understand the O-line is a powerful line, That gets you there on offense. You don't win any kind of a championship without defense, and that to me might be the question mark. But in the use of Brett Favre, as I see it, if he were to be a backup, by that I mean not a second stringer, but an in-relief pitcher, I think it's going to really help the Minnesota Vikings.
You were with the Minnesota Vikings in, what, 68, 69? How much would you have loved to have had the opportunity to play with someone like an Adrian Peterson? We loved him at Oklahoma.
Well, Peterson is a tremendous talent, but we had two of the toughest running backs that ever played the game of football, Billy Brown and Ozzy Osbourne, Dave Osbourne. That's how you measure a football team, is how tough their running backs are. And it doesn't do you any good if your running backs are in and out of the game for injury, because they do get injured, because it is such, you're carrying the most valuable thing on the field, the football, and you're going to get hit. And so it's valuable, but you got to be on the field to carry the ball. And the injury factor is real strong with running backs.
We are talking with the former quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, did some great stuff there in Minnesota, led them to their first ever divisional title and playoff game in 1968. I believe that was before losing to the Baltimore Colts. Was that right?
You know, Elisa, you're bringing up a lot of memories there. Yes, we it was the Central Division at its best, I believe. The Bears had Butkus and Sayers. Detroit had a tremendous team, Mike Lucci and Joe Smith, the coach. Green Bay, obviously, were the champions of the world. And it was a very tight division. I believe our one loss record was 8-6. And we then had the opportunity to play the Colts in the playoffs. And that was... Well, there's a story there, but they used a blitz on us that we didn't catch up with it till the end of the game, and they went on to play in Super Bowl III against the New York Jets, and probably really the game that made the AFL credible.
Quickly running out of time, a stat that I know that you will like, Joe, that I've got to share with all of our listening audience. You're the last quarterback to throw seven touchdown passes in an NFL game, and that, of course, was against the Colts.
Yes, and it was in that first game back in the 69 season when we had our 12-2 run. And it just showed that, you know, if you study the film and you look at it and you say, okay, we can, this is how we're going to attack it. And that's how, why the I guess the record was set. I left the game twice with people going in, and there was no effort to make a record or tie a record, but that's how it came down. What we did learn, though, we took that same blitz that was so effective against us. When I'm coaching at the University of California in 1982 and we're playing the great John Elway,
yes,
we used that same blitz and quite successfully until the last minute and a half of the game.
The play.
And the great John came through. But then they happened to bring their band on the field, and we were able to do what is called the play. So
I am sitting here looking at the calendar right now. We are going to mark it down, have you come back. We've got to relive that incredible experience for you, of course, being the coach at the University of California, your alma mater. You played there. And just quickly, just a line or two, but tell us about your fantastic son, Will Capp, who right now is playing fullback for the University of California. And I will say in the Pac-10 Conference, very high expectations on what those Cali Bears are supposed to do.
Well, thank you, Alyssa. He's busting his tail to you know, be the fullback, and he'll be playing as a sophomore, so he's got a lot to learn and a lot of tough guys to beat out. But I'm really proud of him. I bought him piano lessons and guitar lessons. I was hoping he'd get into music or something like that. He's his own man. If you don't have the call of the ball in football, you'll never make it. If you're doing it for somebody else, you're liable to get killed.
Listen, Joe, we'll catch up with you again here in the next couple of weeks, and it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for some great opinions.
Thank you, Elisa.
Very good. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment on the Big E Sports Show, and join us online at eradiosports.com and twitter.com/eradiosports. We'll be right back.